Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Having Nothing, Possessing Everything, Finding Abundant Communities in Unexpected Places by Michael Mather explores how real abundance can emerge in neighborhoods and communities often labeled as poor or lacking. Drawing on Mather's background in urban ministry and community engagement, the book challenges scarcity thinking and invites readers to see hidden assets, relationships, and resilience that already exist in places outsiders frequently misunderstand. Rather than focusing on charity models that treat communities as problems to be fixed, Mather highlights practices that honor local wisdom and cultivate mutuality. The central idea is that possessions and well-being are not only measured by money or institutions, but also by trust, belonging, shared purpose, and the capacity to care for one another. Through stories and on-the-ground observations, the book reframes what it means to help, asking readers to move from control to companionship. It offers a hopeful, practical vision for anyone who wants to participate in community renewal, without erasing the dignity and leadership of the people who live there. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing poverty as scarcity thinking. A major theme of the book is that the most damaging form of poverty is often not the absence of money, but the presence of scarcity thinking. Scarcity thinking assumes there is never enough, so people compete, hoard resources, and rely on top-down systems to manage risk. Mather contrasts this mindset with abundance, which can exist even where material resources are limited. Abundance shows up as strong social ties, informal support networks, creative problem solving, and a shared sense of responsibility. The book pushes readers to notice how institutions and well-meaning helpers can unintentionally reinforce scarcity by treating communities as dependent, broken, or dangerous. When a neighborhood is defined by deficits, outside solutions dominate and local agency is ignored. Mather encourages a different lens: look for what is already working, who is already caring for others, and what forms of wealth are present beyond income. This reframing matters because it changes behavior. Instead of arriving with programs and answers, readers are invited to arrive with curiosity, humility, and a readiness to learn. In that posture, partnership becomes possible, and the community's own abundance becomes visible and actionable. Secondly, seeing and honoring hidden community assets. Mather emphasizes that overlooked places are filled with assets that do not always register in conventional measures of success. These assets include elders who keep neighborhood memory, neighbors who provide childcare, informal mentors, local entrepreneurs, cultural traditions, and the everyday acts of hospitality that help people survive and thrive. The book challenges the habit of scanning a community only for needs and then designing interventions around those needs. That approach can be efficient for funding and reporting, but it often misses the most powerful engines of change, relationships, and local leadership. By paying attention to how people already solve problems, readers can identify patterns of competence rather than patterns of lack. Mather's approach aligns with asset-based community development and similar frameworks, but it is grounded in lived experience and moral conviction. Honoring assets also means resisting the urge to professionalize everything. Some forms of care work best when they remain neighbor to neighbor rather than outsourced to agencies. The book encourages readers to map gifts, gather stories, and build platforms where local strengths can connect and multiply. When assets are seen and named, a community can begin to tell a different story about itself, one that attracts investment without surrendering control. Thirdly, mutuality over charity and helping relationships. Another key topic is the difference between charity that maintains distance and mutuality that builds solidarity. Mather critiques helping models where one side gives and the other receives, especially when the giver retains power, sets the agenda, and leaves unchanged the systems that produced harm. Even generous efforts can become transactional or paternalistic if they treat people as projects. The book proposes mutuality as a better way, where giving and receiving flow in both directions and relationships become the center of change. Mutuality does not deny real needs, but it refuses to reduce anyone to those needs. It invites helpers to be present long enough to be shaped by the community, to listen before acting, and to share decision-making. Mather also highlights the spiritual and psychological transformation that can occur when outsiders recognize their own forms of poverty, such as loneliness, fear, or a lack of belonging. In mutual relationships, each person brings gifts, and each person has something to learn. This stance can reshape churches, nonprofits, and civic groups by moving them away from service delivery alone toward community participation. The result is more sustainable impact because solutions are co-created, culturally grounded, and supported by trust rather than supervision. Fourthly, practices that build abundant communities. The book points toward concrete practices that help abundance become visible and durable. One practice is deep listening, the discipline of staying long enough to understand local history, pain points, and hopes without rushing to fix. Another is neighboring, the choice to prioritize proximity and regular presence so relationships can form naturally. Mather also highlights the importance of gathering spaces, whether homes, community centers, churches, or informal front porch conversations, because shared space makes shared life possible. Storytelling is another practice, since the narratives people tell about their neighborhood influence what they believe is possible. When stories of resilience and care are elevated, motivation and unity increase. The book also implies the value of shared leadership, creating pathways for residents to lead initiatives rather than merely participate. Small experiments matter too. Instead of betting everything on large programs, abundant communities often start with modest actions that build confidence and social trust. Over time, these actions can attract broader partnerships and resources without displacing local control. While the book is not a step-by-step manual, it equips readers with a way of operating, start relationally, notice gifts, convene people, and support what emerges from within. These practices shift community work, from managing problems to cultivating life. Lastly, rethinking institutions, power, and long-term change, Mather invites readers to interrogate how institutions shape neighborhood outcomes and how power dynamics can either strengthen or suffocate community agency. Many systems are designed to distribute resources through eligibility rules, professional expertise, and centralized decision-making. These structures can be necessary, but they can also create dependency, discourage local initiative, and treat residents as clients rather than citizens. The book urges leaders to ask who gets to define success, who controls money and messaging, and whose voices are missing from the table. Long-term change requires more than services. It requires restoring trust, expanding participation, and building shared ownership of the future. Mather's perspective suggests that institutions should become partners that follow community leadership, not drivers that impose models. That can mean funding resident-led efforts, simplifying bureaucracy, and measuring outcomes that reflect community priorities like safety, belonging, and opportunity. It also means acknowledging historical harms that influence present-day skepticism. The book encourages patience and fidelity because community transformation is slow and relational. Rather than chasing quick wins, readers are challenged to invest in the slow work of accompaniment, where institutions learn to be accountable and communities gain leverage. In this approach, power is not ignored. It is redistributed through relationships, transparency, and shared responsibility. In conclusion, this book is well suited for community organizers, church leaders, nonprofit staff, social workers, educators, civic officials, and students who want a more human and effective approach to neighborhood change. It also speaks to volunteers and donors who sense that traditional charity models can unintentionally keep people stuck. Readers benefit because the book reshapes how they see places labeled as poor, training them to notice resilience, leadership, and wealth that standard metrics miss. That shift can change daily choices, how you listen, where you spend time, how you partner, and how you measure progress. The book can improve a reader's life by expanding empathy and belonging, replacing anxiety-driven helping with relationships that are mutual and transformative. It also offers a hopeful corrective to burnout by showing that sustainable change is not carried by heroes but by communities connected through trust. Compared with similar books on poverty and development, Mather's work stands out for its focus on abundant communities and unexpected places, and its insistence that the helper must also be changed. It is worth buying because it provides a durable lens you can apply across contexts, from neighborhoods and congregations to schools and local government, grounding action in dignity, reciprocity, and long-term presence. If you would like to support Michael Mather, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts.